We are in Proverbs 12:12 this morning as we journey through this chapter. Proverbs 12:12 reads this way: "The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit." Now, in this proverb for today, we are given a typical contrast between those who are classified by God as wicked and those who are classified as righteous. Now, we have all been taught that God's word tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if God's word ended there, what a hopeless condition we would find ourselves in. But based upon that absolute, we all come into this world in the first condition, which is wicked. We come into this world wicked. But somehow, in order for this proverb to be true, there must be a path upon which a person can go from being wicked to being righteous. There's the contrast. Now, of course, we as believers know that that path is the God-man, Jesus Christ, He whom we have come to worship today. For we are told in the Scriptures that He is the way. So Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the path upon which a person moves from the category of wicked to the category of righteous. And in this action, no credit, absolutely no credit. There's no credit balance given to the one on the path, for all credit goes to the path. Now we sing that in this hymn, "All glory to Jesus. Begotten of God the great I am is He." All glory to Jesus. Now, this transaction, moving from a condition of wickedness to a condition of righteousness, moves a person from the world's economy to God's economy. Now, you think of that word economy, and all of a sudden now you're in college and you're studying financial things and so on. But when I use the word economy, it's used in the sense of the management, regulation, and government of a family. You have an economy in your family. Satan has an economy in his family, and God has an economy in His family. So what takes place in this transaction of moving from the wicked to the righteous concerns the moving of one family to another family, the moving from Satan's family to God's family. You know, we change families. We come into this world in one family, and in order to be moving into the righteous category, we must change families. And in order to change families, you must have a new birth. You had a birth to get into the first family. You therefore must have a birth to get into the second family. Now, moving from one family to another family, we find that the operation and management of these two families are poles apart. You know, we have the North Pole and the South Pole. How many miles between the two? 12,000 miles. Try walking that someday. Poles apart. Now, this vast gap between families is revealed in our proverb by the use of the words desireth or desire. You know, one thing I like about the King James Version of the Bible is the old language. I like desireth. I like yieldeth. It's comfort to me to be in the old paths. Now, I'm not a King James Bible only, but I'm a King James Bible predominantly. I teach it. I use it for study. But I like those words, desireth or desire, and yieldeth or yields. Now, I remember well in my Christian life coming to an understanding of this transition from wickedness to righteousness. For after several years into my Christian walk, I realized that the fruit of the Spirit was ripening in my life. I suppose all of us have had that experience if we've been born into the family of God. You know, it dawned on me, I remember teaching this in Sunday school one time, where all of a sudden you think about where your situation is, and it dawns on you, almost as a surprise, that there is now in my life love. There is now in my life joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. You know, unless you pay attention to the Spirit's working in your heart, all of a sudden you think about things seriously and you say, wow, look what's happened in my life. Things in my life that were absent before I had been born of the Spirit. You know, I suppose there's some good things about being saved later in life as an adult versus as a child, because as an adult you have experiences that you can compare with what takes place after salvation, and they're poles apart. Now, before my salvation, before my spiritual birth, I had desired some of these things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and I tried in my life, I labored in my life, but I was always unsuccessful. Now, after my salvation was that God brought them forth in my life, and that is what is described here in our proverb, for the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The things that I desired before I could not attain. But by the Spirit of God, who is the root, they were given. So in God's economy, desire turneth or turned to yieldeth. Works which could not attain turn to grace which could attain. In my wicked state, all my righteousnesses were as filthy rags. I didn't like to hear that. You know, people give their lives to self-righteous acts, thinking that all these things are wonderful, and they may be wonderful to the world, but God describes them as filthy rags. All my desires could not be reached, but the root of the righteous yielded all that desire could not achieve. So, the economy of Satan is wrapped around personal desire, personal goals, and personal purposes, and a life devoted to securing them. That's the economy of Satan. wrapped around personal desire, personal goals, personal purposes, and a life devoted to securing them. You know, we like to call this in our nation the American dream. For this is what we are told to seek after, and this is what our economy is all about. Oh, how we all seek for the American dream. This is the economy of the natural man. You know, that economy sees us as simply consumers eating up the products so we can eat some more tomorrow. You know, that's a horrible purpose, isn't it? If that is the extent of life, what's the use of living? Simply to eat something today and to eat some more tomorrow. This is the range, though, of the wicked. This is the desire. This is the reason for being of the wicked. But the economy of God involves a yielding to God, who with that yielding brings into the lives of his children all that is best. You know, you want the best for your children. God wants the best for you. So it is the change from my will to thy will. And with this change, we are no longer tossed to and fro. We're no longer carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness by men who lie in wait to deceive. And in those whose lives are invested in the doing of my will, in the doing of the will of the wicked, our proverb tells us the net of evil men is desired. This is another way of saying that the wicked are moved to gather, as a fisherman with a net is moved to gather. They are moved to work at gathering to themselves everything that they do not have and to protect from others that which they do have. This is the extent of the wicked. This is the range of the wicked. They're restless. They're pressing toward things not yet experienced or enjoyed, some new thing coming down the pike. Oh, what is this? Let me taste that. Let me try this. Let me go after that. Oh, I desire this. I've got this, but now I desire this. That's the extent. They cast their net, moved by desire without any thought of what that realized desire will bring. Now, the wicked desire to be a master of the arts and methods used to trap men in their devices. Oh, how we see that in Washington today. How we see that in the financial towers of the centers of the world. Oppressing them so as to get what they have under their control. Wicked men are hunters and gatherers of what others have in order to fortify themselves from others of like wickedness. They have great appetites for earthly things, for upon this earth they invest their lives. You know, I don't want to invest my life upon this earth. This earth will burn up. They desire and seek to be rich. They seek to have power over men. They seek comfort and ease. And they will not let conscience, honesty, or integrity hinder their ambition. They are like birds of a feather who flock together, Wicked men emulate other wicked men and learn and adopt net making and trap building in order to ensnare those who have what they want. This is the economy of the wicked. Now, the psalmist speaks of the wicked in Psalm 10, 1 through 11. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices, the nets, that they have imagined. Oh, how the Bible talks about that. The wicked fall in the net that they have prepared for others. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Who is going to oppose me? For I shall never be in adversity. That's the mindset. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Oh, what a small idea of God. You know, if you look in Genesis, what does it say? Thou God seest me. Thou God seest me. Jeremiah speaks of them in Jeremiah 5:26 through 28. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. So the wicked desire the net. The net not of honest men, not of men of integrity, but the net of evil men. We're told here that their houses are full of deceit, which their nets have brought in from other evil men. They trade secrets in evil in order to realize their desires, and they join together in cunning ways, desiring the net or the snare of evil men. You know, I was reading this and I was thinking of all of the prisons that we have where we bring all the evil men together, or the cream of the crop, let's say. And what happens there? They trade secrets. I'll give you a cunning way and a net if you give me yours. Now Amnon, the son of David, sought out the cunning ways of Jonadab, his friend, in order to molest Absalom's sister, who was also his half-sister. Read of that in the scriptures. Jonadab readily provided the net of intimidation, and the sinful act was accomplished. You know, you can always find a helper in wickedness. Jezebel, Ahab's wife, was a net maker, for she was always ready to provide her husband with the tools to capture the innocent, and Ahab coveted Naboth's vineyard. Ahab said, "Oh, I want Naboth's vineyard." And Jezebel, the comforting woman that she was, patted him on the head. "Now, Ahab, be calm." And she said unto him, "Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Aren't you the king? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry." In other words, assume that the vineyard's yours. Celebrate it. "I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." So she wrote letters in Ahab's name. You know, I wonder who the boss in that house was. I don't wonder too long. "And sealed it with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial." She had to point them out. "Get some wicked men before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants of his city, they did as Jezebel had sent unto them." Better do as Jezebel says. She has the ear of the king. Well, she had the ear and the nose with a big ring in it as she pulled him along. "They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died. And they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead." Oh, Jezebel got the vineyard for poor little Ahab. But you know, God gives account of wicked men in the church who go about casting nets full of crafty devices designed to gather to themselves men for their own gain and power. Oh, is the church absent from men like that today? No. The church at Ephesus had left their first love due to wicked men who called themselves apostles, but were liars, and their deeds of the Nicolaitans were corrupt, calling on God to hate their deeds, we're told in the book of Revelation. To the church of Smyrna, God recalled the blasphemous ones who were of the synagogue of Satan. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos, God brought light to those that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block, a net before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. And remember the wicked in Thyatira who continued to suffer or allow this woman named Jezebel, seems to be a... I wonder if anybody ever names their daughter Jezebel. Haven't heard. I'm supposed they have. A woman who called herself a prophetess and taught God's servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And then God brings up Sardis, a church that was influenced by the wicked. For God tells us that there were only a few names in Sardis which had not defiled their garments. Wicked men full of devices, spreading their nets, and members of the church of Laodicea were an abomination to God, who used the term, oh, I wish I could spew them out of my mouth, rich with goods. See, they operate in the economy of Satan, rich with goods and have need of nothing. having drawn in their nets with gold, not tried in the fire. You know, and all of these wicked who displayed themselves in church past continue in church present. Has the heart of men changed? Only by the blood or the root of God can they change. But they're in church present, for without the transforming power of God, they lie helpless in the clutches of their family head, that old serpent, Satan the devil. Now, the natural man desires the things of the world. Notice that word, desires. The spiritual man waits for fruit from above. Two different economies. One is desiring, one is waiting for the yield from God. The root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. Now this declares that the righteous man has a root, and that root is for the purpose of yielding fruit. Now Psalm 1 declares this also, where it is recorded in verses 1, 3 through 6, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Now Isaiah 61 says, they are called trees of righteousness. They are called the planting of the Lord, that He will be glorified. Why are we here? To glorify God. God is a husbandman. God is in the business of harvesting fruit that brings Him glory, and therefore all who trust in Him are given root that they might bear fruit. The comparison is to the ungodly, who is the chaff, a material removed from the fruit and cast aside as refuse to be blown by the wind and never again identifiable, lost, the chaff. You know, in Scripture, false doctrines, fruitless designs, hypocrites, and ungodly men are compared to chaff. The righteous are compared to a tree having roots. But not only a tree having roots, but a tree forever given sustenance in order that it always yield fruit. You know, we're a tree planted by the Word of God. A tree planted in the Word of God. Our root is the Word of God, which gives us sustenance forever. You know, the righteous man is attached to an anchor, whereas the wicked man has no anchor and is blown around every which way with no direction. Jesus said these wonderful words, "I am the vine." What are we? We're the branches. "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." But only by being attached to the vine, only by being attached to the root, will there be fruit. And this is why Jesus said, "For without me ye can do nothing." You know, the wicked, the whole life of the wicked is to prove God wrong. "Oh, I can do everything without thee." Well, you'll end up as chaff. If you count everything as chaff, yes, you can do everything. Because everything the wicked does is chaff. And inherent in this statement is the security of the branch that is attached to the vine. For Jesus tells of this as he continues in John 15, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You know, I have fires at a house from time to time, burning up brush, big piles of brush. And I marvel at the ability of a fire to consume material things, hard things, big logs, big branches, and the fire will consume it all up. And where is it? It's gone. Cast them into the fire and they are burned. So part of the yielding of fruit is that attachment to the root brings security and protection from the net of evil men. You know, the wicked cannot attain security and protection, for they do not abide in the vine. They have no connection to the root, and therefore are as free as the chaff. You know, the wicked say, oh, I want freedom. Well, you can have freedom to be chaff, but only free to be cast into the fire, and they are burned. You know, only God can give the righteous root. Only God can firmly fix the righteous so that they shall not be moved, for God plants the roots deep. The psalmist captured the thought that movement is impossible in Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now, is that an attribute of you? No. You shall not be moved because the Lord is at your right hand. Isn't it wonderful to have the Lord at your right hand? He shall not be moved because he has root in the love of God, which is the source of all good things. He has root in God's grace and the blessings of grace, faith, hope, and love. He has root in the person of Christ, who is the source of all spiritual blessings of salvation and eternal life. The total being of the righteous have Christ as their root. You know, we're carried by him. We have all our life in him, and all fruit, any fruit that comes from us is because of him. And in all things, the Bible tells us, he is preeminent. You know, any grace, any holiness, any fruitfulness, any perseverance, any endurance, any good thing, any good work only comes by attachment to the root. The wicked desires, the righteous wait for the yield. Knowing the root will bring forth fruit, abundant fruit, always satisfying the husbandman. You see the two economies. Are you a person that always desires, always wants, always is gathering, desiring? Or are you a person that is waiting for the yield of the Lord? Well, that tells you where you are in these categories of the wicked and the righteous. The Bible is very clear. No one likes to be called wicked, but the Bible is very clear as to who fits in each category. You know, God doesn't mind profiling. The Bible fits us into groups and categories all the time. The Bible is true, and that's what we need, God's truth. Father, we thank you, Lord,
for your truth. We thank you for this wonderful scripture this morning that we studied. Lord, help us, Lord, to be in the camp of the righteous. Help us to be attached to the root, where by that we can bear fruit. And help us, Lord, to be fruit-bearing, righteous people for the Lord. Bless us, Father, as we go to our service now and afterwards, the meal. Help us, Lord, to remember from where we've come, remember your faithfulness, and to rejoice because of all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.